In the book of Judges, chapter 1, we read there, and in chapter 2, we read about how Joshua has led the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. We read there how the land was separated there. But then we read in chapter 2, in verse number 10, that all that generation died. We're thinking of Joshua, we're thinking of Caleb, we're thinking of those who led the children of Israel, who brought that great report back to them, even though it was denied. They had the faith, they had the courage, they had the strength to stand against the nation and proclaim what God could do for them. And then we read here, all that generation now had died. But the Bible tells us that there arose another generation. And there was something different about this generation now that arose. This was a generation that knew not God, nor the works of God to the nation of Israel. So here was a nation that was growing up and they were oblivious to all things that were happening, spiritually speaking. And then it tells us in verse number 11 of Judges chapter 2, that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And in verse number 12 it says, and they forsook the Lord God. And dear friends, this morning, is that where we are today in our nation? Is that where we are today in our land and in our province? That there's a generation that has grown up not knowing the Lord. There's a generation now that has turned their backs upon the Lord and upon the great works that He has done for us down through the years. The spiritual climate of this era that we're reading about in Judges chapter 6 this morning is summarized in the very last book of Judges and in the very last verse of it, where we read that men were doing that which was right in their own eyes. There was no authority, there was no ruling body, there was no king. Men were doing that which was right in their own eyes. That if it felt good, that they would go out and that they would do it. And of course that would bring pain and it would bring shame upon this nation of people. But there was a cycle that was going on at this time. And that cycle was just simply this, that there was a time when they walked well with the Lord. There was a time then when apathy and coldness crept in. And there was a time when they backslid and they turned their backs upon God. And then God would give them over unto their enemies. And then there would come a time of crying unto the God when they had enough. And God would send a deliverer. And for a period of time, it would go back to what it was again. And then back to sin and back to disobedience. Gideon here is a favorite character of mine. Because it was actually through this visit that we've read about this morning that I found the confirmation from God about going into the work of God some 40 years ago. This, of course, was a very, very dark day for Israel. The enemy had overrun them for some 7 years now. Oh, they had a period of 40 years where all was peace and all was well, but then they turned back into their old ways and God sold them over into the Midianites. And for 7 years now, they were under this great oppressive hand of the Midianites. And then we look here at God was about to raise up a man. God was about to raise up a man. You know, God is always His man for the time. Just as Esther was raised up way back in all those days ago, that she was brought forth to the kingdom for such a time as this. And maybe this morning as we come together, maybe as we come together in this house this morning, maybe God in this very house this morning is going to raise up someone for the time in which we're living. Maybe God is going to place His hand upon you this morning. Maybe God is going to come so close to you as He did to Gideon so long ago this morning. Maybe there's a task that only you can do for Him this morning, and He's now preparing your heart in this meeting, and He's drawing close to you as He did to Gideon this morning. Gideon, that man, was the man that God would raise up. And I want us to compare this morning. I want to compare ourselves in this meeting this morning, because it's no good just looking to the Old Testament scriptures if we don't compare them to ourselves this morning. Maybe you're saying this morning, you know, I wouldn't be qualified. Maybe you're saying this morning, well, I would love to do that little task, but there's something holding me back. Maybe like Moses of old, Moses could say at the burning bush, well, you know, Lord, I would love to go down into Egypt. I would love to bring the children of Israel out, but nobody would believe me. And you know, Lord, I'm slow of speech and I have a stammering tongue, and who would listen to me? Or maybe even in the New Testament days, like Andrew. Do you remember whenever the multitude of people gathered around the Lord Jesus Christ just to hear him preach? Just to see the mighty miracles that he would do. And then as the day drew near and the darkness came and the people were beginning to get hungry and they were beginning to make their way back home again. My, the cry went up out of Philip's mouth. There's a multitude of people here. What are we going to do? Send them away that they might find victuals. The Lord says, you feed them. You give them to eat. You share with them. And Philip says, but my 200 pennyworth wouldn't buy bread to feed them. And then we see Andrew, that big fisherman. My, he's making his way through the crowd and he sees this wee boy and the wee boy is just opening up his lunch. He's about just to tuck in. His mum had made him a special lunch that morning to go out into the to hear the Lord. And Andrew says to the wee boy, he says, listen, he says, would you give that to the Lord? And the wee boy says, yes, I would, of course. And Andrew come and you can see Andrew, you can see the wee boy coming alongside him. And then Andrew comes to the Lord. And he says to the Lord, he says, there's a wee boy here. He's got 5 loaves, he has 2 fishes. But what is that amongst so many? He failed at the last. What is that amongst so many? Maybe I'm speaking to someone this morning. Maybe in this house this morning. And God is asking you just for that little task. And maybe you're saying this morning, what have I got? What is that? I want us to think of this meeting this morning, for this was a very, very special meeting. I want you to think with me here this morning about this meeting when God comes to Gideon of old, to raise him up, to do something for him, to do that impossible task, if you like. And the first thing that I want you to notice here is that this was the most unlikely meeting. It was the most unlikely meeting. That here was Gideon. He was sitting just at the threshing floor. He was threshing just a little sheaf of wheat that he might save out of the hands of the Midianites. And then God would come from heaven and come right down into the very place where he was. God didn't have to ask where he was. God knew all about him. And God knows all about you this morning as we come together. I hope you have come this morning expectingly. I hope you have come this morning expecting the God of heaven to come to right to where you are this morning. Wouldn't it be an awful thing if we were to come and to go this morning and miss the presence of God? Miss his speaking voice to our hearts? Do you remember the one of old who came, who was on the run? Do you remember that one of old? He laid his head down upon the stone and he slept that night, and that night he dreamt and he could see the angels of heaven. He could see the ladder and he could see the angels of heaven ascending and descending upon that ladder. And they got up the next morning and he says, surely God was in this place. And I knew it not. God was in this place, he says. And I knew it not. God was in this place and I missed it. Wouldn't it be an awful thing this morning to come and to go unexpectedly? Perhaps if you and I had been around at this time, at the time of Gideon, if you and I were there at that time and maybe someone came and said to you or said to me, is there someone here that we could see raised up that might do a great work for God in this day? Surely we might say, well, you know, the home of Joash was the last place where you might find someone to do that. Joash, of course, was the father of Gideon. And he himself was an idolatrous worshipper. It tells us there in verse number 5 of chapter 7 that this man had an idol even in his own home. And so you might say, well, you wouldn't go near Joash's home. You wouldn't go to see Gideon. But that is to the very person that God came to. And maybe this morning you're saying to yourself, you're inexperienced. And maybe you're saying to yourself, well, I would be the last person that God would come to. God maybe wants to draw alongside you this morning because he has that task for you. You know, it's easy to look to the past, isn't it? My, the people might have said in that particular day, well, you know, we don't have a barrack now. Don't have a barrack. Why, we don't have a Deborah this morning. Deborah and Barak, they went out and they defeated. You remember Sisera? Put him to death. Delivered Israel out of the hands of them. But you know, dear friends, it's easy to look to the past. It's easy to look to the men that God raised in the past. But God is looking to raise men even this very day. God is looking to raise men to come back into the times of prayer, into the prayer meetings, into seeking God, that God would come in a mighty, mighty way. Perhaps not many would have looked upon Joash at this time, and yet it was to this very quarter that God was going to come. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in those verses at the end where the Apostle Paul says, God hath chosen the foolish things of this world. God has chosen the foolish things to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring naught, to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Why, we could say the same whenever it came to the fulfillment of that first great promise. Do you remember? Do you remember whenever Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden? And do you remember how the old enemy came into the Garden of Eden and took Eve, as it were, by the hand and walked her through the Garden of Eden and showed her of every tree in the garden? Every tree that God said, you can eat of this tree and you can eat of that tree and you can eat of the other tree. But this tree in the midst of the garden, this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he says, do not eat of this tree, because in the day that you eat of this tree, ye shall surely die. And I can see the old enemy. He's got Eve walking through the garden. And he takes her by the hand and he says, what about this tree? And Eve says, oh yes, we can eat of this tree. Oh, no problem. And then what about this one? And so on and so forth. And then he takes her to that tree in the center. And he says, Eve, what about this tree? Oh, Eve says, no, can't eat of that tree. And the day that we touch, she was wrong on that. And the day that we touch that tree, we shall surely die. And the devil says, you'll not die. You'll not die. And sin entered into the world whenever she took of that fruit, and she ate of that fruit, and she gave it to her husband. And sin has passed upon every generation. Every child that is born into this world to this very day is born a sinner and needs a Savior. Maybe I'm speaking to someone this morning, and that's the meeting that you need this morning. Maybe I'm speaking to someone in this house this morning, and you've never come to the foot of the old rugged cross of Calvary. Maybe this morning, as you've entered into this house this morning, you're still in your sin. You're on that broad road that leads to destruction, to leads to death, to lead to that awful place that the Bible calls hell, and you're not saved yet. Maybe this morning that's the very meeting that you need. The Holy Spirit is in this house this morning to draw you onto the Lord Jesus Christ, to show you this morning that you've sinned and come short of the glory of God, but there's salvation for you this morning if you'll only come, if you'll only trust Him. That day in the Garden of Eden, whenever Adam and Eve sinned, God made them a promise of a Savior. He made them a promise of a Savior. And what would that promise come into this world through? Through a wee girl called Mary. Do you remember? God says in Genesis chapter 3 in the verse number 15, he says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. There was the promise of a Savior that would come into the world away back in Genesis chapter 3. The fall of man didn't take God by surprise. It didn't catch him out, because he had the plans made, because the Lord Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. The fulfillment came through a young girl called Mary. Not into a palace, not to a princess, but to a wee girl espoused to Joseph, her husband. To a wee girl, probably just in a little ordinary home. And God sent the angel down and says to Mary, Mary, here's the plan that God has for you. Maybe God has a plan for you in this house this morning. God has a word in season for you this morning. Or ask the multitude, if you like, coming from the city of Samaria. This multitude of men that were coming out from the city of Samaria, they were coming to find the Lord Jesus Christ. Why were they coming? They were coming because of a meeting that a woman had with the Lord Jesus Christ at the well in Samaria. She had come out in the heat of the midday because she was so ashamed to come at any other time. She had five husbands. And she came out to the Lord Jesus Christ. She had a meeting that day that changed her entire life. She had come out with her water pot to fill some water at the well and to take it back into her home again. But the Bible tells us that she left her water pot after that meeting with the Lord. And what did she do? She went out into Samaria. She went out to tell the men of the city what had happened to her. She says, come and see a man that has told me all things that ever I did. Isn't this not the Christ? One meeting. The most unexpected meeting. That woman didn't expect to meet the Christ. I'm sure wee Mary, whenever she was washing the dishes or cleaning the house or whatever the case may be, she didn't expect that the Lord would come into the very place where she was and explain the plan of God for her life and for the life of the Savior to come into the world. And maybe this morning God has something for you this morning. This could be an unexpected meeting this morning. An unlikely meeting. Maybe it's an unexpected meeting. You see, it would appear from the language that Gideon never expected an intervention from God. In verse number 13, as far as Gideon was concerned, God had turned his back upon his people. It wasn't a case of his people had turned their back upon God. Not at all. Gideon had it the other way round. When Gideon didn't say that his people had turned, there was no confession whatsoever. Isn't that what we see today? We see some of the things that are happening around about us, the flooding and the storms, and the people are crying out. Well, where is God? Where is God? God has turned his back upon us. God has forsaken us. God has forgotten about us. God hasn't forgotten about us, dear friends. God is still waiting for us to come back to him. If my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, then will I hear from heaven. Then will I forgive their sin. And then will I heal their land. He's waiting this morning for a people to rise up again. Oh, God hasn't forgotten about us. The old devil would try to tell us, you know, the work of God is dead. The old devil would take us away saying, well, you know, there's a time the churches were full, and so there was. And the work of God is dead. God's waiting for that movement again. His own dear people would lift up their voices unto him. Maybe God is going to challenge us this morning. Going to challenge you this morning about the place of prayer, about the place of secret prayer. I always think of Jairus. That man in the New Testament scriptures, remember he had a daughter that was so ill. But he left her that morning, she was in bed, and she was at the very point of death as far as he was concerned, and he went out and he found the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, Lord, he says, will you come? He says, will you lay your hands upon my daughter and she'll be healed? And the Lord says, I will. And they went off together, and as they went, they were tarried because of a lady who'd come out to touch the hem of his garment. But after that had finished, they were made their way back to Jairus' house. And then you remember, just as they were about to step into Jairus' house, what happened? The door opened. The man stepped forth out of the house. And he says to Jairus, he says, trouble the master no more. He says, she's dead. He says, the wee dear's died. And I'm sure Jairus' heart must have sunk. I'm sure his heart must have been broken in 10,000 pieces. This was the only wee daughter he had. And he loved her so much. And now the news was that she's dead. Can you imagine when the Lord came over to him and the Lord says, Jairus, she's not dead. He says, only believe. That's all he says. He says, you believe. He says, she's not dead. Her Sunday schools are not dead. Her children's work's not dead. The devil would tell us that. But they're not dead. We're waiting on God to move again. Gideon was just doing what he could. He defied the enemy by going out perhaps at night and bringing in just a sheaf or two of wheat to thresh. Quietly he was feeding his family. Quietly he was taking away from what the enemy was robbing and ruining. Because as he looked out upon the land, he could see the enemy as a flood. And he was doing his little bit. Maybe this morning God wants you to do that little bit of going out and robbing out of the enemy's territory. Maybe it is going out with a few gospel tracts. Maybe it is going out and inviting men and women into the gospel meetings. Maybe it is taking your seat in the prayer meeting, whatever the case may be. Working away to rob the enemy of his power. Do you remember the woman with the alabaster box? She came in and she broke it and she poured it over the Lord Jesus Christ. The disciples complained. The Lord says she's done what she could. You know, that's all the Lord's asking for this morning. Just for you to do what you can. Is there something this morning that you can be doing, and maybe that you're not doing, and maybe that you would love to be doing? The Lord's going to give you the power to do it. Sometimes God comes to us in the most unexpected times. Do you remember Moses when he was leading that wee flock of sheep? He was taking them out onto the grass, out to the still waters. But do you remember as he moved through the wilderness, as he led the sheep, do you remember that particular day? It was just an ordinary day. It was just a routine day. It was just the morning that he opened up the pen and he took the sheep out and he walked with them. But this was a different day. It was a different day. It was unexpected. Because here he was. Here he was as he made his way. That little bush was burning. Do you remember? There it was burning and he couldn't understand why it was burning and burning and burning and that it didn't burn away. And so he stepped aside just to inquire into it, just to look at it. Such a different day for him. It was a different day because 40 years ago, do you remember whenever he was in that palace? Do you remember he was named as Pharaoh's, the son of Pharaoh's daughter? Do you remember how he had a burning ambition even at that time to go out and to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt? Stephen tells us something about that. In chapter 7, verse 25 of the book of Acts, it says that Moses supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. Here he was living in the house of Pharaoh, and he had this burning ambition, he had this passion for the children of Israel. He saw their needs, he saw their plight, he saw the beatings that they would get, he saw the way they were being handled, and he thought to himself, God has put it in my heart to lead this people out of here. And he says, the people should understand that. But they didn't understand it. And it took 40 years now for Moses out in the wilderness, day by day, just taking his sheep, for God to bring him to that place where God was going to use him. Moses had settled, no doubt, in the wilderness. He had settled as a shepherd. Some 40 years later, as a man of 80 years of age, suddenly, unexpectedly, this little bush was burning and this was going to be how God was going to speak to him. Is there something in your life at this moment in time and God is going to use that to speak to you unexpectedly? Maybe even this morning. Maybe even this morning, unexpectedly, that you have come this morning and God is going to speak to your heart, even now through the Word of God. I think of wee Samuel as he went to bed, you remember? Oh, when he looked at the nation, he saw a backslidden prophet. He saw the sons of that prophet and they were living immoral lives. And here he was only a wee lad. He opened up the temple doors, he closed the temple doors, he tended to the needs of Eli. And here he was one night, he was going to his bed. And as he laid his head upon the bed in the darkness of the room, he heard a voice, Samuel. And my, he thought it was Eli. And he got out of bed and he ran down the corridor and went to Eli's room. He says, Eli, he says, you've called me. Eli says, no, son, I haven't called you. Go back to your room, he says, go back to your bed. And he went back to his bed. He got tucked up again. And he wasn't long tucked up until the voice came again. Samuel. This happened a few times. And he ran back into Eli's room. And he says, Eli, he says, you definitely called me. He says, I heard you. He says, you called me. He says, son, I didn't call you. And then something happened. Old Eli, that old backslidden priest, he realized this was God. And he says to Samuel, he says, Samuel, he says, if God speaks again, he says, you just say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Unexpected to a wee boy of maybe 8 or 9 years of age. What about you this morning? What about you? Is God speaking? It's unexpected. It's unannounced. This was an unannounced meeting. Gideon was working away, doing his little bit, safeguarding and saving some of the crop from the enemy, whenever suddenly the Lord appeared to him. I'm sure Gideon was surprised. I'm sure Gideon was startled at the appearance of this person. And then the person spoke. He just drew alongside and then he spoke to him. Doesn't tell me anything about flashing lights. It doesn't tell me anything about hurricane winds. It was just a quiet, unexpected, unannounced visit. Isn't it wonderful sometimes how God can come to us when we least expect it? And unannounced. We think of the experience of the two on the road to Emmaus. Do you remember how they had left Jerusalem that day? Their hearts were down. They were sorrowful. The woman folk had been to the tomb. It was the day of the resurrection. Jesus Christ had been crucified on the Friday. This was the day of the resurrection. And the two from Emmaus, they were walking home because they were so discouraged. The woman folk had been to the tomb and the tomb was empty and they didn't know anything about it. And they thought that this Savior who was coming into the world would deliver them from their enemies. But they'd got it all wrong, hadn't they? You see, Jesus was coming to deliver, but not from the physical enemy, but from the enemy, the spiritual enemy and sin. That's what Jesus was coming to deliver from. But there they were walking along, and unannounced and unexpectedly, this person drew alongside, and didn't speak to them, just walked with them for a little bit, step by step, stride by stride, listening to their conversation, hearing their fears, hearing their doubts, their thoughts. And then he spoke to them. That's what the Lord does, unannounced. I suppose they didn't even expect it. Elijah in that cave, do you remember? Whenever the Lord called him, there was Elijah. He was out in the wilderness. He was full of fear. He was full of doubts. And he was hiding in the cave. And then he came to the forefront of the cave and he looked out because he wanted to hear the Lord, the voice of the Lord. And he thought the voice of the Lord would be in something mighty like the fire or like the earthquake or like the wind, but it wasn't. It was just a still, small voice. A still, small voice speaking to Elijah. Are you expecting the flashing lights this morning? Are you expecting the stars to fall from sky this morning? God comes unexpectedly, unannounced. It was an unsettling meeting because Gideon was being unsettled. Gideon was going to have to face a great challenge. He would have to shake off all his fears. Isaiah the prophet speaks about the great bird hovering over the nest to stir up the little chicks. Maybe God is hovering this morning over that life of yours. God is hovering over that life of yours maybe this morning to unsettle you. To unsettle you in what you're doing at this moment in time, that he might lead you in different ways. Just like Mary of old, she had to come face to face with an uncertain future. She was being unsettled. I'm promised to be married and I'm going to have a child. Her whole life was going to be changed. The life of her husband was going to be changed. The life of her family was going to be changed. It was unsettling. And sometimes it can be unsettling when God comes because we can be so comfortable in the life that we're living. But we know that there's a change that has to be made. And it can be unsettling. Just like Moses, unsettled in the wilderness as he watched that little bush that was burning. Do you know there's one last thing about this meeting? It was a non-mistakable meeting. Why was it unmistakable? Because here was Gideon stirred up and he says, "Yes, Lord." He's the one that began all fears, all doubts, all unbeliefs. As far as he was concerned, God had forgotten about them. God didn't want anything more to do with Israel. But God was going to raise up Gideon. And through this meeting, Gideon says yes. Maybe this morning God is waiting for that yes from you in this meeting. Maybe this is the morning. You're not saved. Oh, you've heard the gospel time and time again. You could preach the gospel. You know it inside out. You know the word of God inside out. But you've never come in childlike faith. You've never bowed the knee at the foot of the cross. You've never said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I realize today that I've sinned. I've come short of the glory of God. And heaven will never be my home. Lord, I'm coming to you now. Will you save me? He's just waiting on that yes this morning. Maybe he's waiting on a yes this morning from someone in this house for service. To step out this morning. God has a work and a task for you to do. And listen, it's only you that can do it. Wouldn't it be an awful thing to stand before the Lord someday and say, I asked you that morning. I gave you a task that morning. But you said no. You walked away from it. Gideon had an unmistakable meeting. Maybe this is this morning when it'll be unmistakable. For every time you drive past this church, you'll look and say it was there that I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. It was there that God spoke to me about a life of service. It was there that I said yes and I surrendered my all to Him. I wonder this morning, will you come? Will you trust Him? Maybe as we sing our last hymn this morning, there'll be time enough there just to make that decision.